Another edition of the Shooting USA podcast from our offices in Cool Springs, Tennessee, just north of Franklin, just south of Nashville. Mike Irvine is my guest again. Mike, welcome.
Welcome back, buddy. Good geography on that. I like the range find of every place that we are. I like that. Way to get us from both sides.
I'm telling you, as Nashville becomes a greater and greater tourist destination, more and more of the people we meet around the country are coming to Nashville for different reasons. And, you know, hey, we're in Nashville. We love Nashville.
That's right. Good times, buddy. Yeah. So what do we got going on this week?
Well, it's, Thursday. We just had some shows last night. We did the NSSA.
Yeah, the North-South Skirmish. This is the Civil War reenactment with actual firing at targets, correct?
Yes, very cool stuff. And one that we've been covering for many, many years, all the way back into the Shooting USA era. And one that is really, really fun to see because they shoot cannons and mortars.
That's right. The big guns come out, and they are really heaving some serious lead downrange.
Yeah, it's a major consumption of black powder, major expenditure in the form of lead. In the case of the cannons, many of the cannons that fire balls, they recover the cannonballs and actually reuse them. But then there are some rifled cannons that fire a lead projectile that they can't recover, and that's a bunch of lead, Jack.
Yeah. What do you think that's like downrange? Excuse me, sir, that's my cannonball.
Well, you know,
that's my five-pounder.
They're pretty accurate with the things.
They are.
And they shoot a 4x8 piece of plywood with their target on there, and so they pretty well know whose lane is whose and where so-and-so's shot went and so on. I've seen it in person. It's fantastic because as the camera captures, you can actually see the projectile going downrange, which is very cool, very fun.
That's awesome. Good stuff. We also caught up with Vincent Hancock last night a little bit. We had his Olympic profile as he checked.
I think that's actually
next week's show.
Am I looking
at the wrong week of shows?
Yeah, we're looking at last night's shows were the NSSA. And what else accompanied that? Let's have a look real quick here. It was actually that piece that I helped produce on the Tennessee 4-H team. The Williamson County 4-H team getting some help from Beretta in the form of a couple of donated shotguns that actually turned out to be really useful tools for those shooters. And then there was the Army Marksmanship Junior Shooters Camp, Shooters Clinic. And
that's become a staple here over the last several years where the those young kids get a chance. They actually have to try out to be at the AMU Kids Clinic, and that's become a real staple down at the AMU.
Well, it's always a sellout every year, and so, you know, neat stories there. Always fun to see some of these juniors, and there's some very accomplished juniors who we see in matches and so on. And I remember the first juniors clinic that I went to, one of the guys who's now a member of the team was actually there getting some instruction, Shane Coley.
Yep. That was a quick transition from Shane as a 16, 17-year-old learning the sport to the 18, 19-year-old AMU sergeant that he now is.
Right. And, you know, man, you talk about the combination of good genetics. His entire family shoots.
Yes.
I mean, and you've met the Coleys and the Clags before on Shooting USA. And if you're anywhere in the Florida southeastern shooting scene, I guarantee you you've shot with them or seen them at a match. It's something special to see.
Good stuff. Had some look at some new products last night, too. These are your kind of ideal products.
Well, it was the Red Dots, the new Red Dots out of the Bushnell AR Optics line. Did a quick overview of those, took a look at those, and then Wade Bourne was in with another one of his hunting tips, and this one is right up your alley.
That's right. I actually got to work on this one with Wade, and it was all about getting some movement in your duck decoys. A good one for hunters. Wade's tips are really good. You know, they're just all the little details that you need to get right, that's what Wade's tips really are. And last night was a good one again.
Yeah, they're fun stuff. And that, you know, I mean, that speaks to his success not only as a hunter, long time, but also as an accomplished outdoor writer.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing it for years, and, you know, he's refined his techniques, and he's very, very skillful at passing that on.
And that's the biggest thing is he can carry the message. Wade has one of those abilities to explain something, and you'll understand it. You'll know what he's talking about. And there's a lot of great hunters in this world, and they just don't really know how to do that. Wade's a good one at that. I'm glad we've picked him up over the last couple of years.
Good stuff from Wade, as always. And then Jerry doing a pro tip on presentation to target and a couple of different ways that he drives into targets and transitions and so on. So
you know what Jerry always says? It's not how fast you shoot, it's how fast you see.
Yeah.
And that's a big one last
night. Right, right. I mean, I probably got half a dozen Jerry-isms. One of my favorites is, is I only have too much ammo if I'm swimming. I love that one. I mean, you can't beat that. So, yeah, that's everything that was on TV last night. Hopefully
right.
you saw it, or hopefully your DVR contains it and you can have a look at it at your leisure. How about
Very
impossible
good.
Shots?
Impossible shots last night. We flash back to the late Bob Mundin. Bob, when he was still with us, actually one of the first seasons of Impossible Shots, shot a coin and spun it. You know how you flick it with your finger?
Sure.
This is one of the all-timers that just, you know, never goes away. It's one of the most talked about shots for reasons. But then George Sutton, who we affectionately call Mr. Flintlock, did the shot, repeated it with his flintlock, got it to spin, and then did a double. So he put two coins next to each other, and it was really critical setup to get this shot because, you know, his round ball is actually pretty small, and you have to have the exact right distance between the two coins to catch them each, a little too much, and he would just take chunks out of them, too little, and the ball would pass in between them. So George pulled that off last night, and that was a good one. First of all, it was great to look back at an old Bob, one of Bob's all-time greats, and then to have a guy say, that shot was so cool, I have to try to do it. And,
yeah.
And George did it. It was a good one. George comes up on the cuff with some really creative stuff, and to take a Bob shot and then add another element to it was a really neat thing.
Well, I remember back to when Bob actually made those attempts and finally did that impossible shot, and how electric the energy was around that production, and when it came back and everybody in that building just saying, I can't believe he's done this. You're not going to believe this when you see it. And it's just one of those things that adds to his legacy.
Every time you worked with Bob, he pulled off at least one shot that you just, you know, you were there and you didn't really believe that it just happened. For me, it was when Bob opened the safety pin. He took a 1911 45. Yep. And when I say he flicked it open, I don't mean he hit it and it dented and it bent. It looked untouched, but yet he grazed it just enough to flick it open. And that was Bob. That's who Bob was. And it's nice that the shooters keep his shots going, pay tribute to Bob to keep them going, to try them. And let me tell you, if you think Bob's shots are hard, talk to these guys who are now attempting his shots.
Yeah,
they'll tell you
kidding,
how tough
buddy.
This stuff was.
Yeah, incredible stuff. Well, let's look ahead to next week.
Shooting USA. Yeah, I sort of jumped the gun on that a little bit.
Well, you know, hey, one way or another, they're going to see it.
They're going to see it. So what do we got next week?
Shooting USA kicks off with coverage of the IDPA Indoor Nationals from 2013. And this is always an interesting match, always challenging, really interactive stage design. That is the staple in IDPA, and they ratchet it up another level when they put it inside on the ranges at the Smith & Wesson Employee Shooting Sports Center.
And these are the very old historic ranges. I mean, these ranges have been in essentially the basement of Smith & Wesson for a long time. You know, they were testing World War II products in these things back in the day.
Yep.
And it's a challenge to build a match indoors, but they do a great job for this one.
Well, there's a fun stage on this particular one where the stage designers dismantled a panel van and brought it inside the building in pieces, reassembled it, and you shoot from inside the van. So you retrieve your firearm, and the rear doors of this van swing open and start off a bunch of activators and swinging targets and let her rip, kid.
Creative scenarios.
Yeah,
that's
what
they do at this match. It's creative scenarios.
Well, and we got a firsthand account of all of it because traditionally we go to this match, we cover it as a feature for the show, and then we participate, usually squatted with other friends from the industry and our friends from Smith & Wesson.
Yep.
And we did exactly that this time. It was remarkably challenging, but as always, a really, really fun match.
It is. They do a great job. And, you know, you and I choose to shoot with revolvers, which adds to the challenge, in my opinion, because we must reload more often just by nature of the guns. And that game with a revolver is just a really fun way to go. It presents some really cool reloading opportunities that you don't necessarily get in some of the other matches. And, again, because this match is so prop-heavy. John hit on one with the ambulance. I remember the one where you sat in the front end of a truck and had to actually push the front windshield out, and that set off activators.
Yep.
Really involved in the stages. You have to be to shoot these things.
Yeah. It's neat stuff. Back to the revolver situation. That was a decision that we both made after shooting semi-autos a number of times.
Yep.
And finding a couple of things. First of all, this sport lends itself to the revolver shooter because the courses of fire are 99% of the time six shots neutral.
Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I run an ESR, and I know in enhanced service revolver, the guy who is going to win that match is going to be Jerry Michalik. Mm-hmm. And there's no way it's going to be John Scouten. But I can still see improvement because I stay in that same division and I've shot it, you know, a couple of years in a row now, and I continue to see improvement in my game. Little glimpses of greatness, mm-hmm. you know, surrounded by mediocrity, but it's those glimpses of greatness that let me know, yeah, grip strength training is helping.
You know,
shooting a 625 last year, I can look at it in mm-hmm. video and compare that video to this year and see that the gun is running much flatter and I'm mm-hmm. calling much better shots and, you know, a lot fewer failure to neutralize penalties this time and so on. So in your case, it's a stock service revolver, which, I mean, it's you're making it more difficult
for yourself.
That means,
you know, I'm running with the speed loaders.
Right.
And if you've never held a speed loader or attempted to reload with one, it is a different animal completely because essentially you're holding loose rounds.
Mm-hmm.
Once you activate that speed loader, it's loose rounds falling. There's no moon clip in there to hold everything in. So it's a tough thing. I enjoy doing it. There's something that feels very old school about it, something that feels very in the spirit of defensive shooting about it. Again, I'm never in any position to threaten anyone, but it's about chipping away and shooting better scores as the years go by. And that's what makes IDPA fun, and that's what makes going back to this match every year fun. You know the rules. You know how the game is played. Now it's up to you to execute good hits because accuracy matters so much in IDPA.
You bet.
And pick up your reloading pace because that's where you're going to get your time back.
You bet. Moving forward in next week's show, we've got a couple of cool product bits. Looks like the Smith & Wesson Range Kit, which is an M&P 9 4-inch that comes with a holster and a loader and a couple of mags and a couple of mag pouches that's ideal for the IDPA game, basically designed to pick up at your dealer and go directly to your IDPA match and shoot and participate.
It really is, and that's how we all got started. We all, as a collectively amongst us here at Shooting USA, picked up M&P range kits years ago, and that's how we did it. So if you're out there and you're wanting to get a 9mm and you're wanting to get into some of these sports, that range kit is a good way to go because it's just a grab the box and you're ready to rock.
Yeah, neat stuff. Then Jim's got a little quick piece on the Blackhawk diversion bags, new product from Blackhawk, which is kind of interesting. You know, a way to get to the range, carry your range equipment in something that doesn't necessarily scream it's a gun.
Yeah, these do not.
Yeah, it's neat stuff. So, interesting show coming next week. So what do you got going for Impossible Shots next week?
Shots next week is going to be a good one. We've got a lot of shotgun play going on. First of all, Jerry Michalik just talked about his revolvers. Now we've got to talk about his shotguns.
Mm-hmm.
We filmed this with Jerry. Jerry has the JM Mossberg, the Jerry Michalik Mossberg 930, which is a semi-auto tactical gun. Designed for competition. It's the idea that you can shoot three gun right out of the box.
Oh, yeah.
And when I say, so let's keep the term right out of the box. We went to film this with Jerry. Jerry's showed up the day we traveled. So he pulled this thing out of a box, and the idea was, how fast can Jerry make this thing go fully loaded but keep all his hits on target?
Mm-hmm.
And what I will tell you without giving anything away is, I don't think, in my opinion, and what I've researched and what I've seen, no one has ever shot a shotgun this fast. And I guarantee you nobody shot one this fast and kept everything on target.
Right.
It's one thing to let the recoil go wild and let the gun rock around and just cycle.
Right.
Jerry puts, ultimately he gets to 10 shots on a 10-inch steel plate at 10 yards. The split times are down in the 13s and 14 hundredths of a second.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
And you just have to see it. You just have to see it. When you watch it in real speed, your eyes won't allow you to see or your ears won't hear 10 shots.
Right.
When we slow it down and you see 10 empties come flying out of the gun, it's because that's how fast he's making this thing run.
It's unbelievable. Mechanically, it's almost, you know, I mean, you're reaching the point where mechanically the gun can't go faster.
Right, exactly. It's a function of what the gun can do. And we ran into situations with Jerry where Jerry was outrunning the gun. Jerry's ability to ride the recoil and manipulate the trigger was faster than the gun's ability to cycle, which is something I once heard Tom Knapp talk about mm-hmm. when doing his hand-thrown clays. Now, that's a high-class problem mm-hmm. for very few guys. So the art to this shot is running the gun as fast as the gun will run and allowing the shooter to hold on target. Pretty impressive stuff. And again, no customization of this gun at all. Nothing. He didn't do anything to build this gun up. He just straight pulled it out of a box, and let's see what it can do. It was very impressive stuff from Jerry.
Awesome. Yeah, and Jerry continues to pull off amazing stuff, and they have created a YouTube channel at miklik.com. You hit up YouTube, I'm sure many of you have already found it. It looks like he's got almost 37,000 subscribers. But the reason I bring that up is recently he's posted a series of fast shooting drills with a Barrett 50 cal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty incredible stuff from Jerry. I mean, he's the immortal Jerry Mitchlick.
It's one thing to manipulate a trigger. It's another thing to ride out recoil
right.
and stay on target. You know, I was impressed with the shotgun. He's doing it with a 50 cal semi-auto. It's cool stuff over on the YouTube channel. I know you're adding a lot of stuff to the Shooting USA TV YouTube channel these days. We've got what new stuff do we have out there?
As I continue to free up content for the Shooting USA TV YouTube channel, one of the most recent uploads is the entire 2013 SHOT Show.
Nice, good stuff.
Start to finish. If you want to kill 50 minutes, sit down and watch that. It's the entire show. And interestingly enough, we're getting some views on it, and we got one guy who gave us a thumbs down, so figure that out. He didn't like it. He didn't care for it. And that's fine. You know, I mean, that's part of it. But, I'm going to continue to add content to the Shooting USA YouTube. I've got some stuff that I'm going to put up today, as a matter of fact. And another thing that folks might want to get around to taking a look at is I've finally gotten around. I finally, you know, dedicated some time to getting into Facebook and creating a professional page. So I've got a John Scouten - Shooting USA Facebook page. And, you know, this may sound narcissistic, but it's a tool to promote our shows and to promote our sponsors and to gain traction with this thing. It's been up for a little over 2 days now. To gain traction with it, I'm doing giveaways. So, mm-hmm. you know, our first milestone is going to be 1,000 likes, and we're almost there. We're, you know.
Good for you.
We're almost, yeah. Well, 1,000 people said, all right, I like it. But I'm going to give away an AAC t-shirt. John Hollister, a friend of mine from AAC, saw that I was doing that, and he's going to match that. So instead of one AAC t-shirt at 1,000 likes, we're going to give away two AAC t-shirts at 1,000 likes, and then we'll set the next milestone, and we'll figure out another something to give away. I've got some interest from my friends at Magpul. They're going to send a box of cool handout type stuff, so we'll give away some Magpul stuff. I've got some ITS magazine holders for AR and for Double Stack. I might give away some of those. You know, just dig around and find stuff to give away. I've got a big prize that I think I'll give away at 5,000 likes. So, yeah, it's just continuing to saturate our ways to expose the show and our sponsors.
The nice thing about social media is this is a chance for us to talk to the viewer instantaneously.
Right.
We can put photos up from the matches. We can let you guys know where we're at on the road.
Right.
And that keeps it going because, you know, we spend all summer out on the road, and you don't see the shows hit when the new stuff comes down the pipe coming in the fall.
Right.
But you can see instant matches, match photos from the Bianchi Cup, instant comments from the pro shooters and the things that are happening right there.
Yep.
And we get to hear right back from everyone instantaneously. As soon as we can put a photo up, we're getting comments on it. You know, I put a photo up not long ago on the Impossible Shots page with Todd Jarrett holding guns over his shoulder and two mirrors in front of his face, and everybody's trying to figure out what he's doing.
Yep.
That's the good stuff with that. So find us out there. Find us on the social media pages. Love to talk to you guys. Love to let you know what's going on and what we're doing.
It's a valuable tool. If you remember from the last podcast, I was plugging Mike's deal that he pulled off in 2009 at the SHOT Show when he kind of pranked the Duck Commanders. And you earned yourself a thumbs down on
that, guy.
So, you know, people out there giving us their instant feedback. And that's, hey, that's part of it. That's fun.
You know, at some point, we ought to put the 06 or 07 SHOT Show out there from when all this thing started. years ago. Things look a little different than they did in 07 when we were just starting out on the show.
When he says things, he means us.
Yes, and quite literally.
When I say us, I mean our ability to present products on television in a smooth and concise conversational manner, because it is very rough.
Everybody starts somewhere.
And I'm about 40 pounds overweight in that video, so we might just leave that video alone. We might just let that video just be.
Good times.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Well, what's next? Where are we going? I'm getting ready to head over to St. George, Utah for
USPSA
Open Nationals. That's right. That'll be the middle and end of next week. That's my immediate or imminent travel. What about you?
I've got a few weeks here at home, but then early October I am on the road. We are headed up to see Mr. Flintlock George Sutton again. Mm-hmm. We timed it right. I love getting to Portland, Maine, where George is in the early fall, because the colors up there are just absolutely gorgeous. It's beautiful background for filming.
Yeah.
And actually going to call Mr. Flintlock later today and see what he's going to be doing. I love the way he reinvents himself.
Every time
we do one of these. So that's the next big travel for me. I can tell you that we are stacking up Impossible Shot shows right now. And when I'm up there with Mr. Flintlock, get ready to see a bunch of new shows hit that very same month.
We've got
8 shows sitting ready to go, brand new, for the start of the new season on the network, and it is some very cool stuff coming this season.
Well, I know you're looking at me to drop the scripts for that most recent Terran Impossible shot, and
that's right.
Stuff will be out before I head out of town for Utah. And again, can't give anything away, but it's fantastic. It's going to be really good stuff. Sounded like your phone just went off in your pocket.
I activated Siri just like that for everyone who was wondering who that woman's voice was.
Tell Siri to shut it.
That was Siri. We'll set that over here. Mr.
One thing I did want to mention is something that popped up on the social media this week, and that's something that Allie Barrett, she did. She's sponsored by Blade Tech, and she's a high school student. She's a very accomplished junior shooter. Sponsored by a number of different companies, one of which obviously is Blade Tech. She took care of her school's resource officer by giving him a new Blade Tech holster. And
now there's a story you're only going to hear here.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like here's a guy. It says here he's 20 years. He's retired FBI, 20 years of service there, and works as the school resource officer at Allie's high school. I'm not reading the name of the high school. But anyway, she gave him a thumb drive Glock 19 holster. Stockton High School. There it is. Anyway, really cool stuff. Worth an extra mention. Very, very cool.
Nice move, Allie. Nice move by Allie.
Well played. Well played. Anyway, that's where we are. We're looking at 22:30 at this point. You got anything else?
No, I'm good. That's pretty much the rundown. Remember to find us out there, Facebook, social media, mm-hmm. Shooting USA TV, mm-hmm. YouTube channel. John's putting up more stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. We've always got more photos from the matches, more photos from Impossible Shots on the social media, and the website, shootingusa.com. Well, let's find everybody there.
That's the way to do it, and we'll continue to record these podcasts, and we'll stay in touch.
Every Thursday, it's a regular thing.
But we'll look for you Wednesday nights on Outdoor Channel, too.